So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Third down and goal. The fake, Purdy, touchdown, San Francisco. What deception! 2-yard touchdown run, Brock Purdy. First touchdown run of the season. And they cash in on the fumble recovery deep in Cleveland territory.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
I love this show, man. You know, 95.7, man. You know, I'm a gamer.
On 95.7, The Game.
Welcome back. No, Willard. It's Grandy Enzo, Dibs and Grandy with you on Willard and Dibs on this Victory Monday after a Niner dominant win in Cleveland versus the Browns. Final score yesterday, 26-8. Dibs, you and I were sitting here on Wednesday, day before Thanksgiving, and hope everyone had a great holiday weekend. We were sitting here on Wednesday, kind of treating it as a Friday, a preview Friday, getting ready for this game. And we laid out all the things that were going against the Niners going into this game. And I don't mean to bring this back up, but you have called it countless times a scheduled loss.
Oh, yeah, bring it up, Grandy. I'm not going to run from it.
This game in Cleveland, you called it a scheduled loss. And honestly, your logic is sound. It's a short week. You played on Monday. It's a Cleveland team that isn't great as a team. They're now 3-9. But a very good defense. They're all pro, soon to be future Hall of Fame defensive end and pass rusher Myles Garrett is on hot streak of all hot streaks, maybe the best like 4-game stretch for any pass rusher in NFL history. That's how good he has been coming into this game. To add on to it, you go into this game off of Brock Purdy's worst game of his career, one of them, this game, and then the one a couple of years ago on Christmas Day stand out in my mind as a couple of his worst games as a professional quarterback. All those things going against you. The weather as well, which the Niners have really struggled in, specifically Brock Purdy has struggled in at times in his career. All those things going against him, yet they won by 18 points. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty damn impressive on the surface by itself.
Very impressive, no doubt. And, you know, I had it wrong. Fade the Dibber coming up here in about an hour and a half, and I'll make the pick on tonight's game. I went 2-3 so far in this week.
Not bad.
And I am 9-4 on Niner games. They are 9-4. And so, yeah, that was one where...
balanced.
And I thought about it on Wednesday, like switching. But after months and months of talking about a scheduled loss, I thought, you know what? You go into that spot, it's going to be a difficult spot. And even though Shedeur Sanders is a young quarterback who doesn't really throw the ball much, I still thought that Cleveland had a very live chance to win it. And then the Niners open up and they go punt, touchdown, punt, punt. And it was that kind of a game. The one thing that I didn't account for, and I should have, is just how bad the Cleveland special teams is.
Yeah.
And I actually was texting with a friend about the Browns and their point differential because he told me, oh, yeah, the Browns have actually given up one more point than the Niners have this year. And I looked at it, and they've given up three special teams touchdowns.
Wow.
And they had given up either a pick six or a fumble six. And so their points allowed were a little bit skewed by that fact. But I didn't actually step back from that realization and think, their special teams are terrible. And that ultimately was the biggest thing in the game that swung the Niners' way.
Yeah, absolutely. The situation going into that game, not obviously the Browns had to play in that same weather, and I get it. It's not just a one-way street. But there was a lot of things kind of working against the Niners in that game. So the opponent, to me, obviously it has an impact on the way that a game plays out. And would it have been different if the Niners were in Buffalo and the weather was the same? No, it would not have been different. I don't think it would have been a 26-8 win. But there were a lot of Niner fans out there, and I know you're one of them, and you just admitted to it, who thought there was a very good chance the Browns would have won this game. If you were to ask me, and we talked about this Wednesday, I also would have taken the Browns plus the points. I think a narrow Niner win was the most likely outcome in my mind. But an 18-point win, I did not have that on my bingo card. I did not have 26 points. I was thinking something like 17 or 20 points for the Niners, and maybe it would have been that way if the Browns special teams wasn't so gosh darn awful. But, you know, you'll take them any way you can get them, and you have to then take advantage. And they took advantage with those big third down conversions that led to touchdowns, including that one to Juwan, which was a third and goal, I think, from the 7, and they got in on that play as well. I just thought it was the most complete team victory we've seen from this Niner team all season long.
Yeah, and you get 252 yards of total offense, and you get 26 points. That normally doesn't translate into 26 points. I don't know what the yards per point average is, but feels to me like when you get 252, you're more likely to be in that 17 to 20 point range. But because you had so many short fields and Cleveland kept making those mistakes, you had a chance to take advantage. And like you mentioned it, the third down play to Juwan, the third down and two, which we played on the way in with Purdy, and the
great call.
Yeah, you know, the option, the read option, yeah. Where He read the defensive end, and he kept it, and he sauntered in for the touchdown. That was a third down play as well. Shanahan's play calling was awesome. I think Robert Saleh defensively did a lot of the right things. You know, when you got the lead especially, you didn't have to really get after Shadur. You could just play the run, play a little bit softer, and keep everyone in front of you.
Yeah, let's go out to the phones, 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in. Again, 888-957-9570. What impressed you about this Niner win? They're now 9-4, and they just dominated the Browns in Cleveland. Who do you want to shout out? Up next is Dave in the city, who wants to talk about this Niner defense. What's up, Dave? You're on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs and Grandy with you.
Good afternoon, fellas. I just want to say the defense, the young defense, is growing up before our eyes. They took their licks early on this year, and we lost a lot of players. But, man, Cleveland, Farrell, White, and all the young bucks are finally getting a little bit more of their talents. They're showing up. They're playing tough, and I'm so proud of that defense. And then another shout out I want to have is the offensive line. That patchwork offensive line that all year we were so suspect on. They're doing a great job keeping Purdy up. So exciting times. And of course, go Shanny.
I think it's a good call, Dave. I'm glad you brought up the offensive line because, I mean, I might be getting close to being willing to admit that I was just absolutely flat out wrong about the offensive line. I mean, they've back-to-back really impressive games, and I think over the course of the entire year, largely been pretty decent pass protection. I think maybe they're still leaving a little out there in the run game, but pass protection-wise, they've been pretty good, and I know Cleveland had a sack, and they pressured Brock a decent amount. That, to me, though, is more so the greatness of that Cleveland Browns D-line as opposed to some holes on the Niners' offensive line. I mean, you have one of the best, and maybe, who knows, when it's all said and done, the best pass rusher ever,
right,
in Myles Garrett. You got a young stud in the middle of that D-line out of Michigan in Graham. You've got a former Niner, Malik Collins, who's been really good this year. He went down with a season-ending injury, unfortunately, in that game. Thinking about Malik Collins, former Niner, who was on this team last year. You got Shelby Harris. Like, you've got some dudes on that D-line. This is not an easy task. In fact, it's probably one of the tougher tasks for the Niner offensive line that they're going to face or have already faced so far this season. And a lot of it is because of Purdy's mobility, and I think he deserves some major kudos for that, for extending plays and avoiding sacks. but only one sack, seven quarterback hits. Frankly, I was expecting the quarterback hit number to be more in the double digits,
right,
and the sacks to be maybe three or four. I thought it was a pretty good day by the O-line once again.
It was good, and the pressures were close to the teens, but I think that Brock Purdy and the toe looks to be all the way better. I know it's not going to be all the way better, at least not now, but the week off will certainly help it. But he had a couple of plays where he was able to escape and keep plays alive, and he also made a lot of plays where he just threw it away. He didn't take a sack. He got outside the pocket, and he threw it over people's head. Farrell had a couple of those, and he just got rid of the ball, and he lived to fight another day. And so, yeah, there were a lot of pressures, and you can expect that against a Cleveland defense that's going to be pinning its ears back. And I think that the Trent Williams-Miles Garrett battle, it was a great one. You probably give Miles the win on the head-to-head, but the Niners got the win in the game, so who cares?
The one sack that Miles Garrett had.
Oh, what a move.
So he's the edge rusher, obviously, on the right side of the D-line. That's where he lined up most of the time. Left side of the offense. He wouldn't move around at times, but usually on that side, which is Trent Williams' side. And for the most part, I would have to go and watch every pass rush snap that he had on that side. I would imagine something like, I don't know, 85 to 90% of the time, he's rushing to the outside of Trent, trying to beat him around the edge. And then he, on one play, whenever the sack was, you probably have it. I can't remember exactly when the sack happened.
Yeah, it was in the second half.
He gives Trent a hard move to the outside, as he's done almost every other pass rush snap. And then he just cuts inside really quickly and almost gets by Trent untouched. Direct path to Purdy, and he sacks him. That's just greatness beating greatness. That wasn't necessarily Trent making a terrible mistake. That's just, in order to stop Miles Garrett, you have to cheat and kind of predict where he's going to go sometimes. And that was Miles Garrett using his brain to beat Trent Williams.
Right, and the opening drive for the Niners, and I'm just looking at it here, the first play, Miles with the pressure. Second and six, it was Miles. Later in the drive, it was Miles. So he was starting to heat up in that third quarter. He was starting to, you know, really cook as a pass rusher. And yeah, he may go down as the greatest pass rusher of all time. He probably is going to set the single season record this year, and he might eventually get the career record as well. So he's a problem. And on that play, yeah, he set Trent up beautifully, and he put his foot in the ground and cut to the inside, and Trent was a little overextended, and that's just the way that went.
And it was all over at that point. I thought that Trent and the offensive line had a pretty good day. They for the most part, neutralized Miles Garrett. They've done it as well as almost anybody else has done all year. I think that's major kudos to Shanahan, and we can talk about Shanahan coming up next, because he's having a hell of a season, and there's no way that they're 9-4 if somebody else is this team's head coach. We're sponsored by Bay Area Fast Track. It's Willard and Dibs, Dibs and Granny with you, back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
It's a goal to go right now from the 7. Purdy to the end zone. Caught for the touchdown. Grabbed by Juwan Jennings. Working on Campbell, among others. Purdy has thrown a touchdown pass for the first time today. And the muff costs the Browns. Four times in the red zone and three 49er touchdowns.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky from The Morning Roast, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs. And if you want to see their beautiful faces, you can check them out on YouTube. Search 95.7 The Game right now.
Well, you don't get to see Willard's beautiful face today. It's Dibs and Grandy with you. Willard will be back tomorrow, finishing up the holiday weekend, spending time with the fam. He'll be back tomorrow. He'll react to this Niner game coming up tomorrow. Until then, though, it's Dibs and I breaking this one down. We've got Steve Kerr coming up in about an hour and 40 minutes at 5 o'clock. Until then, your calls and your texts, 888-957-9570. What'd you think of Kyle Shanahan and his game plan going into that game yesterday?
It was, I mean, really solid. Like, the game plan was keep it conservative, not throw too many balls deep down the field because the wind was pretty nasty. And so you played it conservative. And you mentioned earlier the fourth down play in the first half where it was fourth and four, and maybe in a dome or maybe in a different spot, you go for it. Maybe against a different defense, you go for it. But in that spot, with that weather, you go ahead and you punt the ball. And so they were conservative, and then you got the ball back at the very end of the first half, and you had a couple of timeouts left, and so you went for it, and you made some throws, and you picked up yardage, and you got all the way down there inside the 10-yard line, and they could have been even more aggressive on that last play.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
There was 4 seconds left, and you could have decided, you know, we're going to go for the touchdown. Forget the field goal, because apparently that's what we do now in the NFL. We don't like field goals. F that field goal, apparently. But Shanahan got down inside the 10. He's like, yeah, we'll take the three. And that was, I think, the doinker, right?
It was. It was a chip shot.
Yeah, it was a chippy, but it was a doinker, and it went through. And so you took the lead into the half. And so, yeah, I liked the game plan. I liked the play calling for the most part. And when you lost Juszczyk in that third quarter, you had to change things up a little bit. But still, the game plan is going to be the same no matter what. Where is 23? Let's get him the ball. We're going to run it. We're going to throw it to him. He even got a chance to throw the ball himself.
Yeah,
so,
true. I forgot about that.
I mean, let McCaffrey have the ball. That's the game plan, right?
Yeah, and it worked. And I think, like, from a more macro sense, it was you got to be quick in the passing game for the most part. You're trying to take away Myles Garrett as much as you possibly can. I always think back to games in the past against Aaron Donald and the Rams, and that was the strategy that they employed at times. And oftentimes, I mean, players that are as good as Aaron Donald and Myles Garrett, you're not going to be able to take away their impact entirely, but you try to limit the number of opportunities, as Brock Purdy says, the number of ops that you give a great player like that to make an impact. And the way that you minimize the impact of an elite pass rusher is when you throw the ball, get the ball out quick. Don't even let him have a chance to touch your quarterback. And there was a lot of that for the Niners. I think where I was surprised, Dibs, and this goes back to what we were talking about with the offensive line, there were a lot of third and long conversions. And on those third and long conversions, if you're serious about converting, you need to protect for a bit to give your routes enough time to develop and your quarterback enough time to see them develop and get the pass off. And that happened multiple times. So I think a lot of it goes to Shanahan and the game plan and for sticking to it. But it's also the offensive line for in those bigger moments when you needed a longer developing play to actually give Brock and the offense enough time to get it done in the first place.
Yeah, and sometimes it just happens by, not luck, but happenstance. And I'm looking at that opening drive where they scored a touchdown, the second drive of the game, 3rd and 8. And Cleveland blitzed, and you happen to have a great call against the blitz, which was just a little dump down over the top of it, and McCaffrey was able to catch it and go for 12 yards.
Linebacker blitz in the middle of the field wide
open. That's right. That's right. So sometimes it's just serendipity, and I don't know if Brock changed the play or if they, you know, looked at what was coming and made the adjustment, but sometimes you have a play called, and it just happens to work out.
I think of the 3rd and 10 at the end of the first half, where they get the ball back with, 39 seconds left, right after that 90-yard touchdown drive by the Browns. They get the two-point conversion because of a penalty on your special teams unit. The only thing the special teams did wrong all game long cost you 1 point, an extra point, via that 2-point conversion, as opposed to just the 7th point after the touchdown. But they go incomplete. There's still 30 seconds left, something like that. And in my mind, I'm thinking the Browns have 3 timeouts. I'm thinking, well, they might just run the ball and either the clock runs out or they force Cleveland to use a timeout and then they have less of a chance to try to score themselves. Shanahan says, no, screw that. We're actually going to throw here. And that was a longer developing out route. I think it was actually a double move. He's on the left side of the formation, cuts in after running about 12 yards down the field, cuts in, and then cuts right back out after, creates some space. And that's a longer developing play. And it's a long throw by Brock Purdy. You need protection to get that one off. Now, Cleveland's probably playing, you know, some guys further down the field to avoid a play over the top of the defense, so maybe it's not quite as impressive as holding up against a blitz. But you hold up one-on-one when Myles Garrett's on the other side, that's a win in my book, and that was a longer developing play, and that's one where you can't convert on that play if your O-line gets beat anywhere, and they didn't really get beat.
And you convert, which allows you to then, you know, go for 12 more and then 33 yards to Kittle. And, you know, it allowed you to think about going for it still and trying to get that, you know, first down and get down into field goal range, which they got down to the 7-yard line and they were able to get the 3. It was a doinker, but
crazy catch by Kittle.
Crazy catch.
Great
throw, and he went up and was able to get it. And even though he went to the ground and then the ball came out, everyone thought, oh, incomplete. But no, it was a catch, and then he was clearly down by contact, and then the ball got punched out. But that was a big play, and that sets you up to get a free 3, which gave you the lead that you never relinquished.
Yeah. So I think obviously it was the players that went out there and executed, but I think it was also a good game plan by Kyle Shanahan. One other point that I thought was interesting in this game, it was very early in the second quarter, and this goes to, you know, one of those few decisions by Kyle Shanahan. We talked about the decision to punt on the 4th and 4 early or late in the first half. Before that, though, the Niners were facing a 3rd and 10. They were on defense. Cleveland had the ball early in the first quarter. A quick throw out to Judy for 3 yards sets up a 4th and 7, you think. But there was a penalty on Cleveland on that play. Illegal shift on the Browns. And you can decline it if you want and accept the result of the play, which was, again, a 3-yard gain, which would have set up a 4th and 7 in relatively deep but field goal range for Cleveland at that point. Instead, though, Shanahan says, no, I'm going to accept the penalty. I'm taking the 4th and 7 off the board. Cleveland, good luck on a 3rd and 15. And what happens? Farrell sacks Sanders. Yep. They lose 15 yards or whatever the case was, however many yards it was. Yep. They go deep out of field goal range back across the 50-yard line, and now they have to punt. In my mind, if I'm Shanahan, I'm thinking I'm happy that we got the stop on the original 3rd and 10. I'll take the 4th and 7. Cleveland, if you want to kick the field goal, be my guest. I'm happy giving up 3 points. Plus, you might still miss that. If you want to go for it, go for it. But Shanahan giving Cleveland another opportunity to convert a 3rd down, it showed very much, in my opinion, trust in the defense. And they immediately repaid his trust in them by getting that sack, forcing a punt, getting the ball right back.
Yeah, and it was a touchback, too, off that punt. So they kick it in the end zone. It was a net 29-yard situation. So they had the ball at the 49. They punt. You get it at the 20. And so, yeah, it was a win-win. And I do think part of that was, you know, conditions-related. And also, you're facing Shedeur Sanders. Yep. If it was, you know, Matthew Stafford or Baker Mayfield, maybe you think differently about, you
maybe
know,
even Joe Flacco before he got traded.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe even like Daniel Jones. We'll see in a couple of weeks when they actually take on Indianapolis. I do think that some of this is conditions. It's also the defense, and it's also, you know, the quarterback you're going up against. And if it's Shadur, and he hadn't really thrown the ball that much yet in the game, he hadn't been that effective. So, yeah, go ahead and see if you can convert a 3rd-and-14. And Cleveland Furl got the sack, and I had it for a minus 13 in my notes. And they only rushed 4. You didn't even have to bring extra pressure. So you rush 4, you cover with 7. Furl got the first of his 2 sacks, and yeah, turned out to be a great call by Shanahan, and you put faith in your defense that they'd get it done.
Gutsy, though, because on a 3rd-and-long, they could just throw the ball up there, and you could get a pass interference,
yeah, true.
Any kind of penalty, first down, drive continues. It was gutsy, and it was one of the few moments, and the punt on the 4th-and-4 from the 40 was the other very end of the first half, or a little bit later in that second quarter. Those were two moments where I'm thinking, yeah, I don't know if that's what I would have done, but in this one, Shanahan proved to absolutely be right. And I don't know if that's a decision that he makes, Dibs, say a month ago, when the defense looks entirely different than they've been the last couple of games. Because that shows, one, you're probably right, it has to do with who the opposing quarterback and the opposing offense is. But if your defense is struggling, you're also probably not doing that. You're just happy with the 4th-and-7. Make a long field goal, Cleveland. I dare you. We'll take 3 points to us. Feels like a stop. That's not what this defense feels like right now either.
No, and maybe this is what has me thinking about Detroit and what Dan Campbell's doing and how they go for it every time on 4th down. And they don't have Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator, anymore. He's now with the Jets as their head coach. And the Lions defense has been mostly struggling. So
yeah.
I think that plays into it. Complimentary football. If you don't have that faith in your defense, you're going to be more aggressive offensively, thinking, well, our defense can't stop anyone. So we don't want to, you know, give up the opportunity to not get the ball back. And so, yeah, if you have a 4th down and you don't have faith in your defense, maybe you're going to be more aggressive with that. But I look at this whole coaching staff and what's gone on with, you know, Robert Saleh coming back and Gus Bradley joining him as the assistant defensive coordinator. And if Saleh gets a head coaching job next year, Gus Bradley likely, I believe, will get just elevated up to be the defensive coordinator. And you've got other coaches on the staff who are all having great years. So it's not only Shanahan, it's the Shanahan staff, and the special teams has been phenomenal. And the defense, even though you're missing like everybody, like your linebackers are guys that we've never heard of. Guys off the practice squad are getting the green dot because you have no other linebackers. So
there was a delay in the game because they needed to get Jalen Graham the right helmet.
Right, and that's where you are, and yet you give up 8 points to, I know it's Cleveland, but they are still a professional football team, and it hasn't really mattered. No Bosa, no Warner, no Bethune, no anybody, and yet your defense is still getting it done.
Yeah, and the 925 on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line chimes in, and this is, of course, where the minds of a lot of fans go. Their opponents were the Panthers and the Browns. Is what the 925 wrote. Like, let's pump the brakes. These are nobodies. Well, did you see what the Panthers just did to the Rams this week? They beat them. You know, not like going away, but they beat them relatively soundly. They put up 31 points on that Rams defense. Now, it was a game in the final possession, but they won by 3, 31-28. But 31 points scored by Carolina versus that Rams defense. I get it. These are not world beaters that the Niners just beat. But I guarantee you, if you put this Niner defense with everyone that was playing yesterday, and you put this game early in the season, they do not give up just 8 points. They give up a whole lot more than just 8 points. There's no doubt that this defense has improved. I also think, though, it is a great game plan by Kyle Shanahan, and I also think the entire coaching staff, as you're laying out, but specifically Kyle Shanahan, of course, the leader of that group, the leader of this franchise, he deserves credit just for keeping the group intact and for keeping them together. How many other teams, Dibs, across the NFL, if they were to face what the Niners have faced this year? You're in the best division in football, arguably. You're down, certainly, your two most important players on defense and have been for the majority of the season. In Bosa's case, basically the entire season. Your all-pro tight end, for my money, the best all-around tight end in the game still. He misses, what, 5 games? Your quarterback misses 8 games?
Yep.
You have injuries to your offensive line. You've hardly been healthy on the offensive line for the entire season as well. Ricky Pearsall missed 6 games as well. You haven't had Ayuk all season, and it seems unlikely you're going to have him at any point this season. Not only is the team 9-4, Dibs, which is impressive by itself, and that's the biggest thing, I'm just impressed the team has stayed together because there's so many other teams across the league that probably would have folded and soft quit on this season before it was even officially over.
It could be tough. I mean, I'm thinking about Tampa Bay, who was doing so well early, and then, you know, they've lost so many different players on their offense, and, you know, they've lost offensive linemen, they've lost skill guys, and they went through a little bit of a skid, and they're trying to find their way out of it. But the 49ers, we know, are one of the most injured teams always in football, so maybe this is part of the norm of being the Niners. Like, you kind of expect to lose all kinds of people because it's what you do every single year. And yeah, I'm not going to ever look past the schedule and, you know, diminish what they've done because they're playing against pro teams, but you have to look at it too and say, all right, you've had, you know, Carolina, they're better than you thought. You got Tennessee coming up. They've got one win. The Giants fired their coach. They have two wins. And, you know, New Orleans is one of the worst teams in football. You've had the benefit of a last place schedule and the fact that you've played this year the two Souths, the AFC South and the NFC South, which are not world beaters.
That's honestly the biggest reason why the schedule seems easy. Not because of the benefit of the last place schedule, just because the NFC West plays the NFC North or the NFC South and the AFC South.
Yeah, well, and your crossovers outside of that are the Giants, last place against last place. They're 2-10. That's a nice one. Cleveland was the other one yesterday, and Cleveland is what, a three-win team?
3-9.
And the other one, though, is Chicago.
9-3.
So Chicago is your other last place against last place crossover game. So two of them were easy. One of them is going to be probably harder than you would have thought at the start of the year. But you also have to look and say Jacksonville is better than you thought. Carolina is better than what most people thought. So
Indiana's better than people thought.
Yeah, and although I
Jacksonville probably better than people thought.
Yeah, and I do think that the Colts are kind of coming back down to earth a little bit. Like, they were so hot on both sides of the ball early on, and now they're kind of...
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Like, I think regressing toward where you would think that they would be. And if you look at the NFL odds to make the playoffs, or even the AFC make the Super Bowl odds, you've got four teams at 13% or higher in the AFC. It is wide open.
To make the Super Bowl.
Correct. Wow. To win the conference. The Colts are 13%, this according to ESPN. Buffalo 14, New England 14, Denver 19. Those are your four double-digit percentage chances according to ESPN. And in the NFC, you've got the Rams at 23, Green Bay 19, Seattle, Philly, and the Niners all at 13.
Wow.
So the Niners are right in the mix.
They are. And they are a half game out of the number one seed in the NFC somehow. I mean, I'm looking at, I talked about this earlier, the NFL playoff simulator courtesy of The Athletic. They say the Niners currently have a 91% chance to make the playoffs.
Okay.
91% chance to make the playoffs. 75% chance to be a wild card team. 6% chance to host a wild card game, which would be winning a division and not being the number one seed, and a 10% chance to be the number one seed. The Niners, despite all of their injuries, according to The Athletic, have a 10% chance to be the number one seed in the NFC. And if you just say the Niners are going to just add in one more win, the Niners beat the Seahawks to close the season, that odd, the odds jump to 98% to make the playoffs, 21% to be the number one seed.
Wow.
In the NFC. What if you say the Niners are also going to beat the Bears? That would be a 33% chance to be the number one seed in the NFC and basically all but guaranteed to make the postseason. Now, these are just projections. This is not an exact science. But the point is, the Niners, despite everything that have gone against them, still have the ability to, one, win the division, and two, potentially be a number one seed. And for the life of me, Dibs, I can't remember a season where more has gone against the 49ers and they've been able to fight through it as well as they have this year. And with that in mind, I think this is Kyle Shanahan's best coaching job of his career. Like, there's a number of other good seasons where the Niners have been really good and they've lived up to expectations. I think in my mind, they have so far surpassed expectations that this, to me, is the best coaching job that Kyle Shanahan has done in his career as the Niners head coach.
I mean, just think about what he did with a backup quarterback, and you went 5-2 with Mac Jones while he was starting. And most teams, when you get a backup in there for that much time, you're not going to win more than half your games, let alone go out there and beat the Rams on a short week down in L.A. in a game that may ultimately be the one that possibly gets you to win the division. I'm just wondering about fans who aren't believing just yet in what they're seeing. What do you still need to see? 888-957-9570. Like, they're 9-4. They're heading into their bye. Is there something that can happen between now and the end of the regular season that would make you think that this team is for real? Would it be like running the table? Would it be beating Indy on the road? Would it be going 3-1 the rest of the way? What would this team have to do between now and the end of the regular season to make you think, like the models are saying? The models are saying this team's got a legitimate chance to be the one seed, win the division, and maybe go on a deep run.
Yeah, it's absurd. I think most people would probably say, and I'll answer for a portion of the fan base, most people would say, well, beat the Bears and beat the Seahawks. That's probably what they would say. And don't just limp to the postseason by winning one of your final four, or even just beating the Titans and just beating the Bears. But if you lose to the Colts and you lose to the Seahawks, they might not be believing in that. Honestly, in my mind, Dibs, like I don't have to go into a postseason believing that my team can win the Super Bowl or having like a bunch of confidence that they can do it. Obviously, I'm going in and I'm rooting for it and rooting for it heavy, but you never know what happens in the NFL postseason.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the most kind of like baseball, although the Dodgers of late have kind of made a mockery of it. The NFL postseason is so up in the air year to year. The number of times the one seed doesn't make it, it's pretty often over the course of the NFL postseason or over the years. I know you have the numbers. I'm sure you're going to bring them up.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, the one that we think of all the time is the runs that the New York Giants went on where they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl both those times. I mean, this is really a case of just make the dance and you never know what the hell is going to happen. So as long as my team makes the dance, I'm happy because they could, you know, get struck by lightning and catch lightning in a bottle. And by the time you blink, they're in the NFC Championship game. And then who the hell knows what happens at that point?
Yeah, you never know. And the first Giants team was a 5 seed. And this is back when you only had 6 teams make the playoffs. And then the second time, they were the 4 seed, which I believe meant that they were the worst of the division champions back when there were 6. So in the 5 years that we've had 7 playoff teams, you've had 5 of the 10 Super Bowl participants be the number 1 seed. So half the time in the 5 years since we went to 7, and that's significant because when you went to 7, the 1 seed's the only team to get the bye.
They have a more of a noticeable advantage over the rest of the field.
Last year, KC was the one they lost. The year before that, and I shouldn't even mention this because you've never seen the Niners win the Super Bowl, but the Niners were the one they lost. Yeah. The year before that, KC and Philly were both the one. KC beat Philly. The year before that, it was the 4-seeded Rams against the 4-seeded Bengals. And then the year before that, KC was the one they lost. So, yeah, it doesn't mean that if you're the one, you automatically get there. But 5 of the 10 1-seeds in the last 5 years have actually made it to the Super Bowl. But, yeah, you go back to Green Bay in 2010. They were the 6. They beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh in 2005. They were the 6. They beat Seattle. So it happens more than you remember.
It does. 888-957-9570. What do you need, as Dibs asked, what do you need the Niners to do? What do they need to show you over the next 4 games of the season in order for you to believe that this team might have a legitimate shot to make some noise in the postseason? I see you, Rob, in San Jose. We will get to you right when we come back. Plus more time for your calls and your text. Steve Kerr, coach of the Warriors, coming up in a little more than an hour at 5 o'clock. Don't miss that. Until then, though, it's Niners, your calls, your thoughts here on Willard and Dibs, Dibs and Grandy with you. It's also a Monster Monday presented by Merit America. Visit them at meritamerica.org/super. And we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. More Willard and Dibs, Dibs and Grandy with you next on 95.7 The Game. The appearance here with Willard and Dibs. No Willard today. He'll be back tomorrow. So Dibs and Grandy with you. Warriors coming off of a hard-fought win over the Pelicans, a game they absolutely had to have. They just fell to the KD-less and Steven Adams-less Rockets the game before on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. They also had a loss to Portland on this homestand. They saved a terrible homestand by winning Dibs on Saturday. Now they have OKC tomorrow. We'll see what happens versus the defending champs, but selfishly, glad the Warriors won on Saturday, because if not, we would probably get an angry Steve Kerr today.
Yeah, and I don't think that he's going to be necessarily thrilled, and you've got Steph Curry out with a thigh contusion for, I don't know, the rest of the homestand, and I would imagine he'll travel. We'll ask Steve about that, and he was supposed to be reevaluated this week. I don't know when that would be. It would be a reevaluation sensation.
It would be, yeah.
I do know that, Lucas, but, you know.
He's busy.
Yeah. He sure is busy back there. He's drumming. And
I'll do it.
Cha-ching! Thank you very much. But you need Steve.
Wrong sounder.
You need Steph back as soon as possible. And, you know, I couldn't help but think about you after that Wednesday night game, because your whole, like, over 47.5, it's easy money. And every time they kick one, I think about you, and then Steph gets hurt, and I'm thinking, these are the things that
You're like Steiny with a bet with Goo, and now he's rooting against the Warriors for the rest of the season.
I'm really not, because I don't have any skin in the game, and other than me not wanting you to be happy, which I guess is part of it. That's the standard.
That was a given. We didn't need to say that.
The standard Dibs and Grandy dynamic, but just when you said that it was easy money way back, I was like, man, well, you've got injury and you've got this and that. But yeah, Warriors sitting at 11-10, better than 10-11. And so Steve Kerr today at 5, I don't think he'll be chipper, but I mean, with the schedule and now with the injuries, things could be worse.
Yeah, they could be worse. They could be worse. They could also be a whole lot better. So we'll get into all that coming up with Steve Kerr in a little more than an hour at 5 o'clock. Until then, though, let's get back to Niners reacting to their dominant win over the Browns in Cleveland, 26-8. The team was great in all 3 phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. for my money, their most complete team win of the season. And it's got a lot of people thinking about, well, do you suddenly believe in this team in the postseason? And what would it take for you to do just that? 888-957-9570. What do you need to see? Let's go to Rob in San Jose. He wants to weigh in. What's up, Rob? You're on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs and Grandy with you. What do you got?
To me, there's nothing that they can do that is going to change my mind and perspective about their chances in the postseason. Even if they run the table, go 13-4, great season. Getting into the playoffs and the teams that they're going to face in the playoffs, the caliber of quarterbacks that they're going to see, where this defense is. Yes, they've done great the last 2 weeks. They also beat Shedeur Sanders and Bryce Young. Your eyes don't lie, right? And throughout the season, the inconsistent play that we've had from Brock Purdy, the amount of turnovers that he is continuing to give up 1 week in, 1 week off. I just think that they're too inconsistent. We are not running the ball effectively. How many games this year do we have a 100-yard rusher? And our defense has been, again, good against the not very good teams, but against the elite teams have not been great. We still don't have a pass rush. So it's a really fun season. There's absolutely zero expectations for this year with the injuries that we've had. Shanahan is coaching his butt off. I feel more relaxed this year watching games because of having no expectations and then continuing to do well and seeing growth in young players. But as far as making a deep playoff run, there's really nothing they can do to convince me that that's going to happen.
I appreciate the call, Rob. I mean, I think you make a lot of fair points. I'm glad you brought up the word expectation. And I know that that word has kind of been a theme on this show, Dibs, at times. Yeah, and you and Willard like to talk about hope versus expectation. And for the most part, this season has been about hope and maybe even at times the absence of hope, not expectation, but not hope. It's just been, well, you're kind of resigned to the idea of all of our key players are out injured. Just making the postseason would be a miracle, but I can't even really hope for that. I think I have since gained my hope back. And I have also gained expectation back. Not expectation to necessarily win the Super Bowl. So if we're talking about what will it take for you to be convinced that this team is going to win the Super Bowl, like that is an entirely different conversation. What do I need to see to be convinced that this is a postseason team? I don't need to see anything else to convince myself that this is a postseason team. They are a postseason team.
Yeah.
They've been good enough over the course of the entire season. Have they had some narrow wins where if you play that game 10 times, they probably lose 9 times? Yeah, that Rams game on Thursday night is probably that kind of game. But the nature of the NFL postseason, Dibs, is such that it's single elimination, baby. You lose one game, you never know what could happen. So expectation to win a Super Bowl, that's an entirely different thing. But expectation to be a postseason team, I'm there. I've already graduated from hope, and I'm in the expectation side of that for this Niner team.
Absolutely. I expect them to make the playoffs. And if you look at the metrics, and you did The Athletic, and I was looking at the ESPN one, and they've got the Niners in the NFC as the most likely team to make the playoffs. They're at 94%.
Really?
Philly 93, Rams 93, Green Bay 90, Seattle 89, and then you get to Tampa and Chicago 80 and 77 respectively. And that's according to the ESPN metrics. And, you know, they do all their advanced stuff. The football power index is what they do. And
that's crazy.
Part of it, I think, is the schedule. So the 49ers will be maybe double digit favorites against Tennessee to get their 10th win. And then you're down to Indy, Chicago, and Seattle. Even if you don't win any of those games, you wind up 10-7. I still think that you would be a strong candidate to be a playoff team just based on the way things are. And I haven't looked at everyone's schedule, but if you go 2-2, I think 11 wins get you in for sure. So if you are the 5 seed, let's say that you don't win the division, but you beat Seattle in the last game of the year, week 18, you beat Tennessee, you beat Seattle, and you split Indy and Chicago, whichever way that goes, you wind up 12-5, but you hold tiebreakers over most teams and you're the 5 seed. Well, then you go to Tampa Bay for the matchup in the first round of the playoffs.
And the worst division winner in the NFC.
Correct.
Which
right now
will be the South.
Is Tampa Bay. Yeah. I mean, right now you've got Tampa is 7-5. The Bears are 9-3. Philly's 8-4. You would assume that the winner of the South would be a team with, you know, 10 wins, maybe 11, it doesn't even matter because you wouldn't hold the tiebreaker. You'd be the wild card. But
yeah.
If you go to Tampa, you might be a two-point underdog. I don't think you'd be a field goal underdog against Tampa. So you win that game, and then now you're down to the last four teams in the NFC, and it'll be either Philly or Chicago or Green Bay or the Rams or Seattle, all teams that either you've played them and you've beaten them, or I think it's kind of somewhat of a toss-up-y kind of a game. And the big, and I'll put the rat on the table, brought to you by Atco Pest Control. Philadelphia, they're broken.
They are.
They are broken.
I got it, Luke. Don't worry. There it is.
Yeah. My squeak needs to be a little bit more painful. Philly's O-line, broken. Their quarterback is one who, I mean, most of their teammates are not thrilled with him throwing it. Saquon Barkley is taking a step back, so I don't think that Philly is as scary this year as they have been in the past. So, I mean, there's a path if you...
There is.
There's a
there
path. Is. And I don't think that there's any team in the NFC that you look at and say, oh boy, I mean, we can't hang with them. And that's the case with any team in either conference, really.
Yeah, now, like, you go into a game, say, against the Rams in the playoffs, who I think, for my money, are still probably the best team in the NFC, despite what happened in Carolina. But by the way, to our texter, I forget exactly who it was, who said, well, you just beat the Panthers and the Browns. Come on, those aren't good teams. Look what the Panthers just did to the Browns. Or, pardon me, what the Panthers just did to the Rams. That's one hell of a win. They put up 31 points against them and won that football game against a basically healthy Rams team. A week after, you crushed them despite your starting quarterback throwing three interceptions. You won that game by 11, held them to just 9 points. Like, that's a good win. A good win by the Niners. The last three games, 19-point win, 11-point win, 18-point win. Yes, are they against world beaters? No, but they've beaten who they're supposed to beat, and the only teams they've lost to, as you mentioned, Dibs, are teams that are currently in the postseason. Now, does that mean that they're going to be favored against those same teams if they were to meet in the postseason? No, of course not. But I think you have a fighter's chance, and if you would have told me that 4 weeks ago, after they had lost to the Rams, I would have called you crazy. Or even after they had beaten the Giants, I still would have called you crazy. It is quite remarkable the way we've seen this team grow over the last 3 weeks, getting to a point where you could go up against anybody in the NFC, and I would say, well, the chance of you winning is actually, like, possible. It's not like a 1% chance. Like, you're giving them, even against the best of the best in the NFC, I mean, you're giving them... Not a coin flip, but you're giving them a 25% shot to beat anybody. Like there is a very real possibility that the Niners could beat any team that they play in the NFL.
No doubt, and I'm thinking about the NFC playoffs, and you're going to open up with the one seed gets a bye, and you'll have 2 against 7, 3 against 6, and 4 against 5 in seeds. And I will predict right now, none of those games features a home favorite of more than 6.5 points. Mm. I don't think that any of those games... You'll have the home team be favored by a touchdown or more based on who the wild cards will be. And right now it's Green Bay, Seattle, and the Niners, 8-3-1, 9-3, and 9-4. These are really good teams that have won a lot of games. And so even if it's Philly against, you know, Seattle or Philly against Green Bay, I don't think that those spreads are going to be a touchdown or more, which means, you know, any little thing can happen. And you look at Carolina yesterday, they beat the Rams because they had a pick six and Stafford threw two picks and he had a fumble. They were sloppy. He had been near perfect all year and Michael Jackson, he got
pick
him
six.
Yeah, with the pick six and that turned the game and you had a late fumble from Stafford as well. And so, yeah, things can happen. Plays get made. Carolina at home in that one also, by the way, 4-2. So,
yeah.
You know, you have these spots and that's the way games get turned a lot.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, Visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.